You're there in Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 18. Jesus is speaking. He's actually reading from Isaiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." When is the acceptable year of the Lord? That's a good question. You know, those guys were all waiting for that when he went in. He's in the synagogue. He just came out of the wilderness being tempted 40 days. He goes into the synagogue. He finds this specific text and then he reads it to them. They're waiting on the acceptable year of the Lord. When is that? Well, just a couple verses later, he says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's the acceptable year of the Lord began right then. So anything you see on that list, it's acceptable to God that you experience that. Freedom from oppression, healing, whatever the sickness might be. And so that's what we've been talking about. This is part three of receiving and ministering healing. Receiving and ministering healing. I need to qualify something. Julie said something this week when we were driving around and I thought, you're right. You're absolutely right. When we talk about receiving healing, because the part I really wanted to get to is the ministering part. I really want to get to that. And we will today. But I want to qualify the receiving part because a lot of times we're telling people, you just need to receive it. Well, in some people's minds, that's like it's still yet to be shipped to you. You need to be at your door waiting on the UPS truck to show up. And I've been saying it. If you're born again, healing is resident in you. So when I talk about receiving healing, I'm talking about on a couple of levels. One is manifesting the healing. When I say receiving it, manifesting it in this realm, but also receiving the revelation, renewing your mind to the truth that you're already healed. That's receiving it. When you get to that place, the manifestation is only a matter of time. Once you understand, you have your mind renewed to the truth that you're already healed. It's not something that I have to go get. I don't have to run to these certain meetings and get that certain minister who's got that certain anointing to pray for me. Healing's already in you. Man, what I just said is huge. So when we're talking about receiving, that's what we're talking about. And when I say receiving, really it's a matter of not refusing. I mean, you know, there's people out there, they refuse healing. Even though they're born again, they will shut that valve right off. That's it. I'm supposed to be sick. Know anybody like that? There's a lot of people out there. They're that way. Some people, that's their conversation. What do I mean by that? Like they get around family for holidays and stuff like that. The first thing they do, there's a movie. I think it's Vacation, Christmas, or something like that. They walk in and in the first 5 minutes, they're talking about, I got this bump here and I got this. There's all these ailments. That was the first part of their conversation is they're going through their list of all their ailments that they're going through. See, so for some people, that's their conversation. That's how they have learned to communicate. We have had outreaches where a lady got healed. She had to use a walker. And she got healed. And I'm like, can I take your picture? Would that be okay? Because I want to be sensitive to that. She said, no. And I'm like, really? And she's carrying that cane, you know, down the ramp outside. And I said, can I take your... No. It would change her benefits. Ooh, that got me about as mad as a man can get right there. Because that's the culture. That's what entitlement has produced. See, I don't want to do better. I don't want to be healed because my handout will go away. Man, don't get me down that road. That would just, we would derail very quickly over that. I don't have to take that rabbit trail. So I'm going to back it. Backing up. Go over to Romans chapter 8. But there are people that will refuse that. Really what we need to do is release healing. That applies to yourself and it applies to whoever you're ministering to. So I could very easily have said releasing and ministering healing. Are you with me? Because it's already there. I just need to release it. See, some of you are receiving the revelation, and guess what? Oh, I just got to release it. Okay, how do you do that? Faith. It's not hard. You just have to, by faith, believe you're healed. You see yourself healed. Man, I get a vision of my cells in my body. If I'm having symptoms, flu-like symptoms or whatever, and I use my words, and I get a vision in my mind's eye of those cells changing immediately. And the things that are foreign to my body, whether viral or bacterial, whatever it is, that's not supposed to be there, being evicted by the white blood cells in my body. I am quickening my own body with my words and my faith. Your body's designed to heal itself. People say, I don't believe in healing. It's like, well, have you ever cut yourself? Is it still bleeding? No, it healed. Well, yeah. Oh, I thought you didn't believe in healing. Your body heals itself. Well, that's different. No, it's not. It is not different. Healing is healing. Healing is healing. Say it with me. Healing is healing. Romans 8, look at verse 26, and it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Aren't you glad that we can pray in the Spirit? Because if you've got to know everything to pray for, God is sorely limited. Because He has the 50,000-foot view. He's got the big picture. He knows all the nuances. He knows all the things that have happened in that person's life that perhaps you're ministering to. And we don't necessarily know how to pray. So we can pray in the Spirit. When it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered, that literally means uttered in a language that you know. You can't articulate what God's trying to say. But in the Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit, and you pray the perfect will of God. That is awesome. Now, that's not my point, but I do want to recognize and acknowledge that it's going to be by the person of the Holy Spirit that healing is ministered and manifested. You cannot have healing without Him. He's the person of the Godhead that is resident in us. He's the person of the Godhead who is with us on this earth. It's awesome. The word weakness there, if you read that in the traditional King James, I think it says infirmities. He helps us in our infirmities. That word weakness means it's human limitations is what it's talking about. It's our inability to produce results due to human frailty. So it's just talking about our limitations because we are human. And the Holy Spirit helps us where we come to the end of ourselves. But it also has another application. That word also has the application of sickness. And it's kind of the generic term for sickness. And see, when somebody says, well, I'm going to the doctor, I'm sick. Well, your next question is, oh, what kind of sickness? See, sickness is all of it. You're sick. It could be a hangnail. It could be tuberculosis. I mean, it could be anything. It's the category of sickness. So that's the generic term for sickness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in whatever fits in that category, whether it's terminal or minor. How many of you know we put up with some things and aches and pains? You don't have to put up with it. Because you think to yourself, well, I'll just take a bath and some Epsom salts and this will pass in a day or two, right? I shouldn't have lifted that piano. Well, yes, you shouldn't have. But healing still belongs to you. Are you with me? It still belongs. We are putting up with stuff. We don't have to. Healing's healing. The word help. Are you ready for this? I hope you're ready. The word help, the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us. It's the word sun ante lambano mei. Probably not pronouncing it perfectly, but that's the way I learned to say it, and that's what you get. This is the first time that this Greek word was ever used. It is truly a Holy Ghost word. Paul, when trying to describe help, said, well, it's kind of like this, but that's not enough. Well, it's like this, but that's not enough. It's like this. So he took three words and put them together in one word. The word sun, S-U-N, is partnership. It's what we do together with the Holy Spirit. How many of you know we are in partnership with Him? He needs us to go and lay hands on the sick. If we don't go, He can't manifest it to that person, even though it's His will. We have to carry the anointing to them. The word anti, how many of you know what anti means? But this is very interesting, and I got this from Rick Renner. Man, it caused me to do a double take on here. It's like I had to double check all this stuff. But it means against, anti. If somebody's anti-politics, they're against politics. So it means against, but it also means enraged. If a person was anti-society, this is how that word's used, if they were anti-society, they were enraged, and they were so enraged that they were dangerous to be in public. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't think of the Holy Spirit like that, do you? That he's so enraged about a thing. I don't even think of him as angry. Anybody else? I mean, I think of this dove, peace, butterflies, a brook of water, trickle, trickle. You know, that's what I think of when I think of the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, we're going to put it all together. It'll mean something to you here in a moment. And then the word lambano. Lambano means to take or receive. And so the first word, soon, is the position of the Holy Spirit. He's partnered with us. Secondly, is the attitude of the Holy Spirit. He's not happy when one of His children are sick. It bothers Him. He gets enraged about it. And then the third word is the desire of the Holy Spirit. What does He do? He wants to take it away from you. Isn't that amazing? And so here Paul puts this word together. It's the first time it's ever used. It is truly a Holy Ghost inspired word. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's truly a Holy Ghost word. First time it was ever used. Isn't that powerful? And so we translate it, help. Man, how inadequate is that? When you think of the word help, you got some help. I mean, you have a partner. God is partnering with you through His Spirit. And He's enraged when somebody is afflicted in any way. And His desire is to eliminate it. And it will happen if you believe. And you just got to boldly step out and bring the anointing to the affliction. The only thing that will stop it is if that person has their foot on the brake. They're like, no. If they're refusing healing. But if you can just get them the word, they'll believe it. Faith comes by hearing, right? And when you show them in the word, it's God's will. What did He tell the leper? I'm willing, be cleansed. I'm willing, be cleansed. We looked at it last week. Now, we've already looked at this, but I just want to review it real briefly for you. There's three words in the Greek that we translate healing in the New Testament Greek. The first word is the word therapeo. Therapeo. And from that word, we get our word therapy. We get our word therapy. And the majority, I don't know what the exact percentage, but it's high. The majority of the healings that you see Jesus doing was therapeo. He would have them do something. How many of you know faith without works is dead? And so you need to get people to act on their faith. You get them to do something. If all you do is stand there and speak over them and declare over them, and then you send them back to their seat, let's say, if it's in a church service or something like that, you haven't done enough. They need to respond. Faith without works is dead. That's why Jesus, time and time again, He'd say, go show yourself to the priest, stretch forth your hand, straighten up. He'd wash your face. He'd have them do something. Do something. Amen? When we see that being the majority of what Jesus does, that should be the majority of what we do. If somebody's got a bum knee and they're in pain, have them do something. We watched Damon Lindsay, a staff sergeant in the 101st Airborne, and he was getting ready. I think I shared this story already, but he was getting ready to have surgery the next week. He couldn't go to PT. I did PT like 5 in the morning at Fort Campbell. He's on crutches and he's scheduled for surgery that week. The next day, he goes in and he's without crutches. And the guys are like, hey, You remember that, Marcus? But how did it start? He's up in the altar. Guys are laying hands on him and they're ministering healing to his knee, and all of a sudden they have him start walking. Well, at first he couldn't do it. You know, he's walking very gingerly, but all of a sudden his gait got more and more normal. And before you knew it, he had thrown those crutches down and he was doing laps around the sanctuary. When I say laps, the boy was booking. I'm talking, he was picking them up and putting them down. Nothing afflicted about the man. What a witness that was. All these guys knew his knee was messed up. Amen. The second word we look at is iomei, and it means to cure. We get our word doctor from that. It's just like Emma. Emma's on this kick. That's my 2-year-old daughter. Anytime there's a slight little blemish, got to have a Band-Aid. Got to have a Band-Aid. And in fact, if you deprive her of a Band-Aid, it could become nuclear quite quickly. I don't know if her faith is in the Band-Aid's ability to heal her affliction, which it's just a little red spot. You know, come on, baby, you don't need a Band-Aid. Julie has taught me, pick your battles. Because me, I want to convince her that's not necessary. You're wasting Band-Aids. But for her, it's a big deal. So she'll have Band-Aids all over her. Don't think she's been in a car wreck or anything. She's just that way. You know what I mean? But what do? We give her the Band-Aid. And in her mind, we're doctoring the thing. Boo-boo, yes. Her boo-boo, that's right. We've got a boo-boo, need a Band-Aid, boo-boo. And sometimes it's like, what? I need a microscope to see what you're talking. Anyway, I'm learning that girls are different than boys. I'm learning. The third word is the highest and the best, and this is the word sozo, and this means wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Wholeness. To bring your spirit back to its original design. To bring your soul back to its original design. To bring your body back to its original design. That's the wholeness that we're talking about. And there's a difference between wholeness and healing. And you remember the 10 lepers. 10 of them got healed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Only one of them came back. All of them were healed as they went. That's the therapeo. But when he came back to give thanks or give glory to God for what had happened, he was made whole. How many of you know leprosy, they're missing parts. Some things have rotted off. He was completely put back into the design of the Creator. And that's available. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, we looked at it last week, the woman with the issue of blood. He said, daughter, your faith has made you sozo, whole, well. That's how it's translated in some places. Now, we're going to look at 5 categories of sickness. I realize, I think the AMA says there's 39 categories. I haven't been able to verify that necessarily. It's interesting because we'll talk about how Jesus took 39 stripes, one for each category. But the New Testament does put sickness in 5 categories, and so we'll look at that. We're not here to magnify this, but I want to show you that Jesus has healed every one of them. The first one is the word nosos. This word conveys the idea of an affliction of the most severe nature, a terminal illness for which there is no natural cure. I think of things like AIDS and certain types of cancer. There's no natural cure. When that happens, you know, the doctors tell you, get your affairs in order. Well, Jesus has healed that. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Talking about a terminal illness. How many of you are excited about healing? Yes. Praise you, Lord. Matthew 4, look at verse 23. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Think about this. He's teaching in church. So when you go to church, really, you should go to church to be equipped. The purpose of teaching is to bring understanding. It's so you can grasp the principles and the ideas of God. Amen? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching means to proclaim. So what is he doing? He's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come to you today. See, he didn't preach healing. he preached the kingdom. Because in the kingdom is no sickness. In the kingdom is healing from all sickness. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all, say all, kinds of sickness. That's the word nosos. And all kinds of diseases among the people. Okay, that word is the second word. It's the word malakia. Malakia. And malakia is a crippling or debilitating condition. You can live with this disease, but it's difficult to function. Things like arthritis come to mind. Their hands are kind of bound up and all this. They can still function, but that's what malakia is. It's something that's not terminal, but it really lowers the quality of your life. And Jesus healed that, right? He healed all the nosos. He healed all the malakia. So all the terminal and all the ones that bring the quality of life down. He's healed all of it. Then the third word is the word kakos. Kakos. Now, kakos is a interesting word. It means to be grievously vexed by demons. Grievously vexed by demons. These are people who are oppressed and become mentally confused. Mentally confused. You know, you go into some sanitariums or places where they have mental illness patients and things like that. A lot of that, I'm not going to say all of that. Please don't hear that. But a lot of that is just demonic oppression. There are demon entities that are causing a lot of those situations. You got to remember, our brain is an organ, just like your kidneys are an organ or your heart. And there can be things that malfunction. And when your brain malfunctions, it can cause problems because it regulates everything about your body. And see, Jesus healed that. I want you to go over to Acts 28. Remember when he went to the Gadarenes and that demoniac ran to him and then he cast the devil out of him, and it was more than one. He asked, it's the only time I see Jesus having any kind of conversation with the devil. And he said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are many." And then the devil said, "Please don't send us to torment." Obviously, the devils know that they're going to torment. They're going to be shipped off. And you got to think about this. I said it a little while ago that the devil is terrified of the anointing. Jesus would walk into the synagogue and people that had devils would cry out, "Ah, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And you have to wonder, why would a devil witness for Jesus? That doesn't make any sense. But you listen to what they say. "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They know there's a time coming. And their day's up when that time comes. They know who he is and they know what their end is. That's potent. Man, that's huge. And I like the fact that the anointing scares the devil. Think about it. You go into some place and you turn the light on and maybe there's roaches and maybe it's, you know, they don't have an exterminator. What do? As soon as that light comes on, what, they run in terror. So you don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman, as I said before. You don't need to be afraid of. I am not at all intimidated by that stuff. And I've seen some freaky stuff. I mean, I've seen some stuff. I don't want to say it again. We got called on to go and minister to a guy, and on the way, I'm just as casual as I can be. He's like, "All right, we'll come, we'll pray for him." And the Lord told me, he said, "Don't take this too lightly. You need to start praying." And we did. We were in the car driving a couple states away. And so we just started praying in the Spirit because I didn't know what I was going to run into. Man, oh man. I mean, I watched the dude's face change. It was contorting and his eyes were bugging out, and he got up in my face with this voice that sounded like it came out of a tomb. Said, "I'm gonna kill you." I can't even imitate how dark it was. And now, if I hadn't been ready, if the Lord hadn't warned me, that I might have said, "Oh, I think we're done. You know, good luck with all of that. I'm gonna leave." But you know what rose up in me? Because I was prepared. The Lord prepared me. What rose up in me? "No, you're not. If you could, you would have already." Trying to get me in fear to shut me down. And I said, "You are coming out right now." And it was over in a matter of seconds. Cast that thing out of that dude and he was in his right mind. So anyway, freaky stuff. A lot of people like that because it's real spectacular. I personally don't. You know what I mean? Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, and as you go, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. If you happen to step on a snake or drink something that somebody put some poison in it, don't worry about all that. Some people build an altar right there, and they make their ministry. I've got a deliverance ministry. Those things implode that fast. You know what I mean? Because all they're doing is spending time with demonic stuff. And that's not what we're to do. We're to proclaim the kingdom. The kingdom has come. While you're there, you're going to have to deal with stuff. And most of the time, you see people doing this. While we're on that, we might as well talk about it. You'll see people just barking at the devil during their prayer time. And I'm just like, why are you doing that? Paul says, I fight not as one who beats the air. You know what I mean? All the time that I've seen any demonic activity, it's been in an individual, somebody being oppressed, not necessarily possessed. That guy I was telling you about was possessed, but he's not today. Glory to God. He's a minister today, as a matter of fact. So thank you, Jesus. So did I tell you Acts 28? Look at verse 5. And I guess I should tell the whole story. I really was interested in this one verse. It says, but he, this is talking about Paul, shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. That's the word kakos. Kakos. You remember this? He's building a fire, and a viper bites him. The villagers are like, ah, see, he's a devil. He's a devil. And he just flings the thing off, shook it off. It's a poisonous snake, and nothing happens to him. They notice he didn't die, and they're like, he's a god. I mean, they went from that camp to that camp really quick. See, and the thing is, it's the harm. It really means harm. Now, the fourth word is the word mastagos. Mastagos. And this is when we talked about the woman with the issue of blood. I was going to go through and methodically show you every single instance of somebody being healed of these specific things. But I'm going to give that to you as homework. Just know that Jesus healed them all. Anything that you can put in the category of sickness, the generic word that we saw in Romans 8:26, it's healed. We have help for that. Amen. And this is the word mastagos. It's the root of this word literally means a whip, and it's a whip for scourging. And what the Roman soldiers would do is they would take a prisoner and they would beat that prisoner with that whip, beat him and beat him and beat him until they were right at the brink of death. And only then would they relent, would they back off. And they would only stop to keep them from dying. If any more beating, they'd die. And so they'd back off, and then they'd let them heal a little bit. Why? So they could come back and beat them again. That's what this is. It's one of these things that just keeps coming up and keeps coming up. But you know what? Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. Go and be healed. Continue in the healing of that mastagos. Be healed. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Go over to Mark 16. And the fifth word is the word erostos. Erostos. And this word means comatose. Comatose. This is a person who is closer to death than they are life. Comatose. You ever hear of somebody in a coma or something like that? There's no quality of life. In fact, if they're to survive, it's going to take outsiders feeding them and helping them. Mark 16, look at verse 18, and I'm really interested in the middle phrase there. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. And then this is on the list. They will lay hands on the sick, erostos, and they will recover. Is there a stronger way to say that? When Jesus says, this will happen, how can you say that any more sure? This will happen if they believe. These signs will follow them that believe. They can lay hands on the comatose and they will recover. Now here's the significance of the comatose. Do they even know that they're having hands laid on them? That somebody's ministering healing to them? There's speculation as to whether people here, maybe some do. I believe a lot of them do. But what I'm trying to say is, how is it possible that that person can even release faith? I'm trying to get you to think. But you can go to the person who is unable to speak to their mountain, and you can cause them to recover. Now, I wish he would have said it this way. You'll lay hands on the comatose, and they will immediately spring up. They'll immediately be made well. Wouldn't that have been nice? I mean, those things happen, right? They happen, but that's not the promise. The promise is that they will recover. It may be a gradual recovery. It may be an instant recovery. I don't know. But I do know this, that when I bring the Holy Spirit, when I bring healing to the individual, recovery begins. The moment that I release it. Now let me help you with this, because I have seen instances when it didn't work in a situation like this. If that person has made some sort of covenant, and what I mean by that, they've agreed with their sickness that this was going to be their demise and they somehow deserved it, it doesn't matter what you do. God is not going to usurp their will. Free will. Say free will. I heard this in school Wednesday. There's all these crazy events going on around the world with insane, evil people just insistent on killing masses of innocent people. And a lot of people ask, why does God let that happen? Well, how would He have to stop it? He would have to mess with that person's free will, right? But He can't do that, because it's an all or nothing deal with the Lord. He's not going to impose His will beyond that person's will. See, we want God to stop the shooters, stop the guys that would do these kinds of things. We want God to go in, change their will, manipulate them. But we want God to leave us alone. See, I want to drive 80 miles an hour on the turnpike. That's my will, right? It's all or nothing. See, and He's chosen the all. It's all up to mankind. That's why certain things like that happen, because of choice and free will. The jurisdiction of planet Earth was delegated to mankind. Now, if we pray, what we read, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we'll pray, we can get God involved. But God can't impose Himself just because He wants to. That's why Jesus told us that we have to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He has to have a covenant partner request His involvement in a thing. See, people say, well, God is sovereign. Yes, but His Word is sovereign. His Word is sovereign. When He said, "Have dominion and subdue this planet," that's it. He's delegated the authority. I mean, that answers hundreds of questions right there. Because you'll hear that kind of stuff. If God's a good God, why would this happen? Why would they murder 5,000 unborn kids a day? Why would they do that? If God's a good God. But see, that assumes that God's going to go in and intervene and change that person's choice. He can't do that. I said He can't. Why? Because His Word is on it. If He did it, He would have lied. And God can't lie. Amen. Religion does not like what I'm telling you, because they like no-fault religion. No matter what happened, that's all part of God's master plan. We're just a bunch of lab rats. No, it doesn't work like that. Are you with me? I'm serious. There's a lot of people think that. No matter what happened, it's not my fault. It must have been the will of God. And then they'll start explaining away why somebody didn't get healed. Well, that passed away with the apostles. All that kind of garbage. It's garbage. Can I say garbage? Say garbage with me. Garbage. Three Chinese cheers. Fooey, fooey, fooey. Well, on that note, I want to minister to the sick. And I had it teed up just right, and then I went and did that. But praise God, praise God. If you need healing in your body, we are going to bring the anointing, The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to minister healing to you. If you need healing in your body, don't be...